Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got friend of the show, Arnold Alderman from Anagenesis. He's an industry pundit and analyst, and I brought him to the show on many occasions, and he's back yet again. So hi, Arnold, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about the barriers that are in place for the adoption of solar energy. People always talk about enablers, but we've got some barriers out there. And this is going back to a presentation I made to APEC 2013 earlier this year.
Right.
On a topic called the influence of regulations, incentives, and social consciousness.
Well, you have to have a context, and regulations and standards provide that context. It's just key to make sure they're the right regulations and standards, huh?
Yes, that's right. And solar power is, a wonderful addition to technology and keeping our planet green and yet providing power.
Right. Well, it's a great ecological. I mean, it's tremendously ecological. It's free energy pouring from the skies, right? I mean, it's got to be very positive in the ecological aspects, and it's not an insignificant source of power.
It's a great opportunity. And it's a great opportunity not only for corporations, but for individuals, homeowners, who has the opportunity to install solar panels on their roof and to be able to use that power and to also send it back to the, to the utility. Over the past decade, solar power, as we all know, has grown significantly.
Well, now, obviously there are issues. What are the issues that you see?
Well, I've talked with a lot of people in the industry over the past several years. I've been very interested in solar and what will make it happen. But I've discovered a lot of disconnects that is holding back solar growth. And many have attributed the delay in growth of solar on the cost of solar, but I have personally found out that many of the barriers that are holding back the growth are other than cost.
That makes sense.
Now, some of the barriers are small ones, like simple disconnect of my talking with an architect and his complaining that the schematics provided by the power converter people is not schematics that are readable by architects. So, it's just something like that where the schematics should be provided in architectural schematics.
Well, and we're going to continue with the solar issue, but that's definitely something that we need to bring up as another issue. We need to have more standardization in this stuff because it's ridiculous that an architect can't read what an engineer writes down involving a building electrical.
Or vice versa.
I mean, that's a significant issue. But that's something that we will. As a matter of fact, Arnold, I'm making a note right now. We are going to talk about that.
Okay.
But let's get back to solar, because I mean, I realize that there are these issues about that. Now, what about the other barriers that you're talking about?
Well, basically, I'm talking about the fact, the first big fact is that many government incentives will be terminated, and these may be at the federal, state, or local level. The problem with incentives is not initiating them. That's the easy part. The problem with incentives is ending them. The painful part.
Sounds like it.
And it can do, ending the incentives can just undo all of the great things that have been achieved by the incentives, leaving a net result of zero. And
that's
it's not
what, yeah.
To me, that this part of the solar incentives has been totally through by people.
Well, that makes a lot of sense as well, because you get an incentive into place, and if it goes beyond the startup point, because obviously you expect to hand up with a startup, but then once you get into mainstream operation, if the incentive is still there, it becomes a crutch.
It does, and if you drop it, you can have a
you can fall down.
Yeah, you can fall down.
Wow, that is wild. See, so now, let's say that it will, okay, now, solar is still in a growing phase. That's pretty obvious. What about the whole issue on incentives? Are we seeing anyone backing off on this?
Yes, and it has been growing. Solar's been growing for quite a while, but it's starting to slow down now.
We've heard news about
the federal government assisting startup companies that have gone belly up. People are starting to say, well, is this a useful purpose for federal tax dollars? And questioning that is the right thing to do. With recent cutbacks in the government spending, a number of incentives at federal level and at some of the state level have ceased to exist. And I certainly would not want to try to approach the city of Detroit right now with a solar project.
Well, and the thing is that unfortunately, Arnold, that's a political aspect that we really can't get into as much as we would like, because the other side of that coin, one can make the argument that we're competing with governments that are spending significant amounts to investing in their solar infrastructures, and the risk there is we don't invest, even if we are wasting money, frankly, because there is no second place when it comes to world market. You know, so yes, we may waste money, but if it allows us to seize the solar market, is that investment worthwhile? So I do see the issue, and it really is a very complicated one. What about utility companies? Do you have examples of utility companies that are rethinking their incentives?
I really do. In the past few days, a power company in our sister state of Arizona, the Arizona Public Service Company, or APS, has asked the Arizona Corporate Commission, which oversees their fees, et cetera, they've asked for permission to charge individual solar participants anywhere from $50 to $100 more a month for the opportunity to participate in power sharing. APS is finding that the incentives are fading and cannot justify that the business model is in place. Now, that's an incredible jump in homeowner cost for power, and something's going to happen if that cost skyrockets. We'll see what the commission says about the request. If the Arizona Corporate Commission accepts the APS cost-benefit analysis, new solar customers are going to be paying a lot more per month, and it's not going to be retroactive for the 18,000 customers they already have, but it will be for all new people.
Well, you know, and see, and then that gets into all kinds of things with cost structures and cost benefits, because the bottom line is, if you put a solar panel on a house, no matter what the costs are at the startup, there is a net gain downstream as it's putting power back into the grid. You know, no matter how badly you balance the books, the fact is that solar panel is still providing a value, however microscopic or however small. I think a lot of the problems is the billing structures and the incentives and the regulatory structures and the cost structures are completely out of reality to one another.
Well, the problem there is that if you put power back into the line, you get credit for it. But what APS is saying, look, you're getting a $100 credit. I want that money back. And personally, I've never understood the business model. It tells the customer that I'll give you a cost break if you buy less of my product. Now, we're beginning to find out that approach is not suitable, and there are not incentives to support it. So I'm not sure where that's going to go, and this may be the beginning of other utilities doing the same thing.
Well, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how it all breaks out, Arnold, because once we start talking about that, we start talking about serious, and again, unfortunately, we keep bumping back into political questions. At what point is the grid for profit, and at what point is the grid to support America's infrastructure so it can be a viable country? At what point is the grid to make people money, and at what point is the grid to provide a national infrastructure for the defense of the country?
Yeah, you know, this question came up early when the airports were going in place and the train, the train companies, railroad companies were saying, hey, we have to pay for all our own stations and infrastructure. And the airports are getting their infrastructure from the taxpayer.
Exactly. It's the same kind of issue. So it really, and that's kind of a bit of a sadness, because there are engineering issues that we as an industry have to face. But then there are issues that have nothing to do with the technical aspects that are millstones around the development of the technologies.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? I mean, like, for example, if you think about it, going back to your example, let's give me some other examples, for example, because I bet you probably have some examples that could even illustrate some of these issues.
Well, the other example I'm thinking of is the one confronting the solar industry from the very beginning. In fact, I was thinking about calling this podcast The Amazing Solar Maze, or Approval Process Gone Amok. If a homeowner wishes to install a solar system, there's a whole bunch of approval hoops that he has to jump through, from federal to state, county, city, and yes, even HOA approval. After you get all the approval, then the local utility company may or may not decide to install a bidirectional meter service. So the owner will receive credit for regenerated power. One homeowner recently shared his experience in a local newspaper and said he installed a solar system costing $30,000. After 3 years, he has yet to receive first credit for putting power back on the grid.
See, and that's not a technical issue. That's an infrastructure issue at the billing level, which is, I can see your issue with the whole problem with solar development, because it has almost nothing to do with the technology and everything to do with everything else.
That's correct. And so, going back to the original premise, and that was solar's not growing as fast as it should because of the cost of solar, but it's all these other problems that's really slowing.
Exactly. So, Arnold, do you have anything else, any other thoughts to leave our audience with before we close out the episode today?
Well, yes, I do. I'm hoping members of the solar community are listening in on this podcast. And, I'm hoping that you all work together to melt away the barriers. I'd be glad to discuss this topic further with anybody who's interested. And we'll send you my APEC presentation, in which I talk about this and other subjects that are holding back energy efficiency and power distribution.
Excellent.
So you can either get it from me or download it from the APEC website.
Right. And you're at anagenesisinc.com, anagenesis-inc.com, right?
Well done, Alan.
Well, you've been, I wouldn't want to upset you. I'd hate to have you stop showing up. I'm getting used to you, Arnold.
Yes.
But thank you a lot for coming by again. And we're definitely, this is a deep mine. There's a lot to talk about, from these issues all the way through to who's responsible for the various portions of the infrastructure to what technologies. I'm going to try to make this one of the topics at my wrap session at APEC as well, because it's a deep hole and no one knows where it's going to go.
That's an excellent idea, Alex. I look forward to hearing more about that.
Excellent. Well, hey, thank you again, Arnold. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
You're welcome, and I look forward to chatting with you
the next time. Excellent. Looking forward to it myself. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to be with us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Palt for Palt on Power. Have a great day.